Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Seabros Fishing Podcast. On today's show, we wanted to kick things off by basically just introducing ourselves. On this episode, my brother Taylor and I talk about what Seabros Fishing is, some of the recent trips we've been on in the last couple of months and couple of years, and we talk through some of the funny and good stories with our friends and fellow charter captains in those places that we've been to recently. One other thing we start to describe is our family's charter fishing business that's based up here in the Northeast, Mass Bay Guides, and just kind of talk about what this whole operation's about. So hopefully you enjoy this kind of first episode, introduction episode as to who we are, what we do, why we're doing this. We look forward to putting out a lot more content, and hopefully you stick around to listen. So thanks, everybody. Enjoy. Welcome to the Seabros Fishing Podcast.
It could be kind of funny to do it as like Charter Chronicles.
That's what I mean.
So you'd be like talking about Tomcat.
Exactly. Tomcat Kitty. Eating the bananas. Feeding each other bananas. Yeah. If I ever get to like 75 and my wife's feeding me a banana on like the front of a skiff and I have like a straight up white mullet and my name is Tom and I have a mustache that reminds me of a little kitty, little cat.
Tomcat Kitty.
Yeah, and you can call him Tomcat to his face and he doesn't care. He thinks it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
And then
his wife
didn't want to like stand up because I don't know why.
Well, she wasn't the most athletic looking human. That's when you know you just give zero fives.
And then the last thing, which I think is really important and probably the most important out of all of it, is we need to figure out like some phrases or like a repetitive thing that we say. It could be five things, it could be one thing that we say like all the time that's like unique.
Yeah. That, like a sign off
like,
sort of thing?
No, like a catchy thing, like Howard Stern, they have the crows when the lady talks. Everyone knows when that lady talks the crows are gonna go.
Yeah.
It's like not necessarily like an audio thing, but like something that we say or like a phrase or like.
No, I agree. Like, I think that also could like come from doing this a few times.
Well, I know, but we need to figure out something so that, like, you know, down the line, a year down the line, 2 years down the line, you're selling t-shirts that say the phrase.
No, I know. Well, I mean, fortunately, we already have some sort of merchandise to, like, start with, too.
Yeah.
But I agree.
But I'm just saying, like,
specific to the
something podcast. That you can, like, write on every Facebook post in the bottom that's, like, funny that only listeners, like, know about, but also kind of makes sense fishing-wise. Yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Just brand this itself.
Right, like,
makes sense.
TJ has kapow. Like, that's the stupidest thing ever. Doesn't make any sense, but, like, everyone now knows it.
Do you have any slogans off the top of your head?
No, but I'm just was thinking about it on the way here. Yeah.
Like, you know who would be good at that is, like, all we'd have to do is sit down with Jason Stock for about 30 seconds.
Yeah. He might be
Danger.
Yeah. I mean, Danger or like, you know, when he said Beaver Den, I literally almost lost my shit.
Cleaning out the Beaver Den.
Jason Stock calls his cubby storage on his boat Beaver Dens. So when if he tells his mate to clean it out, he goes, "Oh yeah, go over there and clean out the Beaver Den." It's like all rusty hooks, and it looks like something out of like, you know, like a Star Wars countertop in the scene with like.
Yeah, it's like a. It's like a closet in the Millennium Falcon.
Right.
Is it Falcon or Falcon?
I don't know. Either one sounds ridiculous.
No, I agree.
So I think that's what I have written down.
Okay.
Which I think it all makes sense. We just have to figure out like what we want to talk about. I mean, right off the bat, you can talk about what we're going to do at the Seabros Fishing Night.
Yeah, I think right off the bat, honestly, to start this conversation...
What is Seabros? What do we do?
Yeah.
Do we know what we do?
I know.
I don't know what we do.
I know what we do.
Do you know? Okay. Yeah. Explain.
So
how did Seabros start?
Seabros started because...
Well, it was under a different name, which we won't mention, but...
Yeah, it was under a different name.
Right.
I mean, anyone who's been in the fishing industry for a decent period of time knows how small the world is, and once you start fishing different places or whatever...
I mean, it started off you going to PEI with Dad.
Yeah, started off going to PEI with Dad 10-plus years ago, and fishing with Jamie and Troy up there, the Bruce brothers, and then... I quickly like realized that there was a market for bringing
buddies up, basically.
Buddies up. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it started as just bringing buddies up.
Right.
I mean, there was no revenue off the trip, you know, whatsoever. And for us anyway, obviously Jamie and Troy were getting bookings and stuff and we were helping them with it. But yeah, it just started off as the PEI trip and bringing friends up, and then it turned into this whole, like, we cook, we fish, we have a sweet spot up there, and people don't want to have to deal with the logistics and...
Yeah, they want to just basically give you a check or their credit card and...
You know, people are working 40, 60, whatever hours a week.
Trip.
The last thing they want to have to worry about is planning the logistics on the trip. They just want to go enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it started, was just a way to kind of, I guess... officially monetize
and allows you to go to these places and fish
exactly
for free and maybe make a little bit of money while you're there.
I mean, it's still not even really about the money, it's just more about the opportunities,
right?
But that's kind of where it started, and now it's just kind of a catch-all for anything that we do that's not charter fishing in Massachusetts. You know, it's kind of evolved into this like mini booking agency, and people want us to go on their boats or hire in tournament crew or deliver a boat somewhere or, you know, just go out on their 20-foot center console poking around out here. You know, they have a way to kind of reach us and we can offer our, like, individual services, I guess. But yeah.
I think it's badass, the seeing, like, the people that I've never met before, then they fish together. You know, like the Pilsic crew and then the McKims and Pritchard and like all these guys that go up.
Last night was a perfect example.
Right.
I mean, we were all at our buddy's house, buddy Dave's house last night. And it's like, you know, there's 20, 30 people there. And
half of them are PEI guys that all go on the trip.
Half of them are PEI guys that all met up there.
Up there in Canada, yeah.
You know, it's just kind of evolved.
So it ends up being like a, it's not like a bro thing, but it kind of is, you know, it ends up like a camp.
Yeah.
You know, and... the accommodations are cool, so like everyone's comfortable and they're all hanging up by the fire and having a drink and talking and, you know, shucking oysters
just, and everyone's very, you know, just like
they're all fishermen, so they all get it.
Yeah.
You know.
And everyone's just themselves, like they're not trying to like, it's kind of nice because it networks everybody outside of this whole social media crap.
Right.
You know.
I think the biggest thing is no matter how good you are at fishing, like, you can fish everywhere, and you go to Canada, go up to PEI, and it just, like, totally humbles you, because the people are, like, way nicer than here, number one. The food is, like, better than here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one even lives there, and, like, all this stuff is just better. The fishing is ridiculous. So, like, everybody that goes to Canada, that's fished around the world, that are professionals... You know, I think it brings them down, brings everyone down to the same level, because the fishing and just everything's like, you know, insane. And I think it humbles you. And I think it kind of gets rid of that front that, like, you know, the commercial guys, the recreational guys, like everybody has here locally, is like everyone has a front of what they are and how they act and how they fish. And when they travel and go like outside their box, everyone ends up kind of the same.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's cool.
It cuts away the egos and brings everyone to the same level and makes you appreciate it more.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that recording?
Yeah.
Okay. And then now we've been going to Florida. We've been going to Florida pretty much every year our whole lives. Our grandparents live there. So we've been fishing there once or twice in winter. And we have some buddies down there now. Jason Stock and Dave White that we've been chartering with and bringing family down and now friends down, and
It's evolved into the kind of the,
yeah.
the same thing.
Right.
All inclusive. We find a place. We cook for everybody. I mean, everyone ends up pitching in. I mean, obviously
right.
we provide it and square it away, but and
we're fishermen, not chefs. Yeah, Chef yeah. Ryan is pretty good at cooking, but
yeah. But people also like to get their hands dirty too. Like, you know, you're going there, you're catching, you know, 10, 20 different species, and you want to try them all and cook them different ways, and you
right.
don't want to just be catered to the whole time. Like, people want to actually do it, cut their own fish, you know, cook, hang out, have a couple of drinks.
Right. It's a you guy know, trip.
It's
not like a
yeah.
fancy, like, hang on the...
No. You're not you going know, to an all-inclusive
check,
resort.
Right.
Like, you're doing...
I'm you're, not making you a Mai Tai.
No. No cocoa.
Maybe a rum and coke.
No Coco Locos here.
With some extra rum, but... So, yeah, we fish for snook and redfish and do all the whole light tackle
tarpon,
inshore
tarpon.
Thing. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I caught my first tarpon this year. That was insane. Totally
I'm,
luck of the
day. I still haven't heard this whole
so
story.
Basically we were, what were we doing? We were going around, you have to cut this because I forget the name of the stupid, what is it? The island there.
Egmont Key.
Yeah. So we were fishing around Egmont Key, catching... Were we catching some sheep's head? We caught a black tip, some snook, basically like all sorts of small light tackle, you know, fish. Tons of action. We got a bunch of snapper for dinner, and we were going from spot to spot around Egmont Key, which.
Were you just fishing white bait, just like pitching?
Yeah, just chumming and chumming pitching that bait. In, and like the sheep's head and stuff like that. They won't eat white bait, so it's all shrimp.
Yeah.
So, we just like happened to look out in the channel and it looked like, you know, a school of dolphin or something going by at first. And we watched it a little bit longer and Dave is like, oh, I think that's a small school of tarpon. So we're like, oh, crazy. We have any tarpon gear? And he's like, it's not tarpon. It's not even close to tarpon season. He's like, I got one rod that could probably handle a tarpon right now. You know, during tarpon season, these guys are like, crazy prepared. They got everything like locked and loaded and either in case they see a school or if they're actually targeting tarpon. So he's not the guy that's like unprepared, but this is like not even really close to tarpon season. And he had one rod he was using to catch sharks the day before, one spinning rod. Had like 60 or 80 pound braid on it. And he had like one package of tarpon hooks that he had left over from the previous season on the boat. And we got like set up and just started chumming like everything in the live well and pitching baits, you know, live white bait out. We didn't have any crabs, which was clear they were eating crabs.
Yeah.
And the school of like 10 fish turned into probably like, honestly, probably 10,000 fish. Like there was one like every 50 feet coming up and rolling. Some of them were jumping and it was just like I've seen tarpon like twice my whole life. This was like far as you could see every direction all the way to the beach. We were probably... 300-400 yards from the beach.
Were you on the like inside bay side or on the Gulf side?
I believe the inside bay side.
Yeah.
And we started just fishing live pinfish because that's all we had, and they weren't big. They're 3 or 4 inches long with like this big ass tarpon hook in the roof of their mouth, and just free drifting it down like we do bass fishing.
Yeah.
We started out with no weight, just free drifting it back, and I finally got a bite and things like dumping line and goes up, jumps. It's like one of those spinner sharks and the big giant school of tarpon. We're like, oh, like what the hell? And, so we reeled in, like had to put a new leader on, drifted another bait back. This time we were marking like a whole layer of them, the bottom 30, 40 feet. I think we're in 80 feet of water and the bottom 30, 40 feet was just like, looked like false bottom, stacked like cordwood of tarpon going under the boat. So I was like, let's just put one down. So he took some of those crimp on weights and put one or two of them.
Yeah, a couple
right,
of split,
yeah, a couple split shots like right above the knot, basically. And which makes sense because it kind of, it hides it, putting it tight to the knot. You would think that the fish would see that, but they actually see it a lot easier if it's 4 or 5 feet away from the knot. So we just sent the pinfish down, like literally the first drift. It was like, you know, I got a subtle bite eating into the chum slick. And fish went up, jumped, and like we pulled the hook. And we were like, oh, I finally hooked my first tarpon. You know, I was freaking out. And Just after that, I'd say two or three drifts later, we finally hooked one. It was probably like 100 pounds, 80, 100 pounds. And I fought her for like 45 minutes. And it only jumped. It did like one really crazy jump in the beginning. But other than that, it stayed fairly just down and dirty for the whole fight. And it fought like a small blackfin on steroids. You know, just like these slow tail pumps.
Yeah.
But just like you can't move it. Just sat there and fought crazy hard. We finally got it up and we swam it. Dave held its lip, bottom lip, all the way till we got to the beach. And I got off
the boat. Did he hold it with his hand or with his mustache?
I mean, so Dave was doing a mustache bet with Brian. And for basically November. And it was based off a bet for the Bruins versus Tampa Bay Lightning, who was going to win that game. And the Bruins lost, so Brian had to keep his mustache until January, right?
Yeah, well, it's
end of January.
Well, that's what I thought. And then I didn't tell you this. So we fished with Dave on New Year's Day. So I was just down there.
We'll get back to the tarpon story.
We'll get back to the tarpon story. But we were, I went down with my wife and my sister-in-law and her boyfriend over the holidays, you know, fishing with Dave, get away from this brutal Northeast winter. But actually, it hasn't even been that bad. But anyway, we fished a few days, fished New Year's Day. So I still had the mustache. So when Dave and I were texting back and forth about the bet, I thought I could have sworn he said end of January, I have to keep the mustache.
And it was the end of December.
End of the year.
My God. So you had it for an extra year, an extra month?
No, for an extra day. I showed up New Year's Day. He pulls up to the dock in the boat to pick us up. And I have the mustache still. He goes, why the fuck is that still on your face? I'm like, what do you mean why it's still on my face? I still have it for another month. Yeah. He's like, no, bro. End of the year. I was like, you're shitting me. He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, now I have to deal with this thing for, like, one more, like, last-ditch effort of a day fishing. And so we got back to the dock, and we were cutting fish.
And he cut your mustache.
And he cut my mustache.
You should use the fillet knife.
It got kind of weird. It got kind of weird. Like, at first, he started tickling my nose. I was like, this is getting weird, dude. I got to finish this off myself. But yeah, anyway.
Speaking of tickling nose, back to the tarpon story.
Back to the tarpon
story. So, yeah, the fish jumped, fought it for 45 minutes, and we wanted to get some cool beach pictures. So Dave, you know, had it by the lower jaw, and we just put the boat in gear and brought it all the way to the beach. And I hopped off and got some cool beach shots in the water with the fish. You know, tarpon are very protected, and it's all, you know, everyone uses circle hooks, and you don't really want to take them out of the water. So it was cool to, like, get a picture of the fish in the water, keep them in the water, and then, you know, safely release it. And I got some cool GoPro footage of it actually swimming away. It's pretty awesome. Nice pictures and stuff. But yeah, that's the Florida trip. I mean, these guys are no joke. Jason Stock is out of his tree. I mean, he specializes. He used to do tons of inshore fishing. Now
he started off kayak
fishing, right?
Guiding deal.
Now he's into the offshore, and it seems like he's got more and more motivation to just get bigger and better stuff, and, you know, get out there faster. And
yeah, I mean, like anything, he's evolved.
Right.
He's still. I mean, don't get us wrong, like. You know, he's still a savage inshore and stuff,
right.
But like his passion is the
offshore. He likes to fish that pole string.
I mean, there's a reason his boat is called the Full Send.
Right.
You know, he wants to fish hard. He wants to fish offshore. He wants to catch exotic stuff.
Right. And he's got his own language. I mean, you don't understand it. If you've never met him, you won't understand him at all. In the morning, he's talking about bait and, like, you know, cast netting bait and the chum and. What he has for bait, like, it'll be an hour conversation, just like random words, strung together, talking about his bait and what
no
he's got
fish
ready.
Species has its actual real name.
Yeah,
you know, like cobia are cobras,
right?
You know, permit, it's always the permnado. You know, tarpon, he calls tarpon
poons,
you know, whatever else. Jack,
right. I think
so
that's
like,
kind of the Florida, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
talking,
well, it's the same up
but
here.
But he's
too.
Got the slang down. I mean, it's like he doesn't even try. Just well, comes
the,
out.
He's got the slang combined with the quick wit.
Right.
So, like, if you...
It's deadly combo.
If you really sit, like, think about what he says, it's insane how fast it rolls off his tongue.
Very smart.
Super smart guy. But, but yeah, no, he's a great guy. You know, actually, funny enough, and I know we're kind of spitballing here and talking about Seabros and our trips and friends and networking and kind of trying to describe what it's all about, but oddly enough, to kind of circle back to PEI, that's how that whole connection happened.
Same style.
He was up there. I mean, that's how we met. It was odd, you know, like I had our clients up there for a couple of weeks. I stayed a couple extra days and made it for Jamie and Troy for a few extra trips, and Jason happened to be one of the clients, and I didn't even know he was lived in the same area of Florida where we grew up fishing when we were little. Connected the
10 minutes away. Yeah,
connected the dots, and it's been a great relationship since. I mean, like, it's kind of like that family-esque friendship, just like with the Bruces, him, you know, same with Jason and Dave. It's like now all the kids hang out, we go over there, spend holidays and stuff together. So,
and now they're coming up and now here.
Yeah, they come up and stay with us too, and stay with us, do the whole Bluefin, and
which we'll get into that story another time.
Yeah,
100%. Maybe today, but
maybe we'll see where it goes. But yeah, so I would say, I mean, I know we have more stories to tell about these guys and what we do, but that's kind of the what sums up the whole Seabros
traveling as of now. We're gonna expand and hopefully go into some other places and locations, and but like right now we're just focusing on Florida and Canada.
Yeah, I mean, we have a few other options in our back pocket, but it's just, you know,
it takes a while. It takes 3-4 years.
Yeah, you got to build those relationships. You got to figure out, you know, it's not just, oh, it's great fishing here this month. It's everything else. I mean, it's finding the right people that are passionate that you can trust 100% of the time. There's a lot of great charter captains and guides out there.
Right.
But being able to give everyone like that, I feel at home experience when you're there, that's the difference.
Yeah, you line up the location, the guy, the food, the boat,
the weather.
Time of year, the species of fish, how to get there. You know, there's so much to
it. And keep it, you know, within a certain budget as well. I mean, like, fishing's expensive, you know? It is what it is. So trying to cater towards every type of angler can be a challenge. So, you know, you really have to have multiple options.
Yeah.
So.
What else is Seabro? So... We do sell some gear, got some hats.
Yeah, we have apparel and stuff, and I know we'll get into
fish mark stuff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll talk about that, you know, in future podcasts and once we actually start getting intros and all that organized. But, I mean, another thing, not necessarily a trip that we're organizing for clients, but, you know, being that tuna fishing seems to be our primary focus, whether it's, you know, here with Mass Bay Guides and our own boats, which is, you know, 80-90% of our fishing time, you know, and Canada as well. But, you know, we're fortunate enough to network with other people. So we're going to the Canaries in 2 months to tuna fish, you know?
Yeah. So the bluefin migrate there in the winter.
They migrate
into
the
spring,
Med.
Spring, basically, into the Med.
Yeah. So those, I mean, I'm not super well versed in it, but, you know, to paint a picture, the Canaries are essentially, you know, just outside to the southwest of the entrance to the Mediterranean, the Straits of Gibraltar.
It's actually owned by Spain, La Gomera.
Yeah, the Canaries belong to Spain, I believe.
Yeah.
And Gomera is the island within the Canaries that we're going to with some family friends / clients of ours, I guess, but they're over there for a 2-year tour trying to catch big blue marlin, and tunas are kind of a off-season bycatch for them over there. I mean, they're really bill fishermen, boats on location based out of Port Aransas, and they spent some time in Costa Rica and got their blue marlin numbers up and, you know, in the thousands and fishing the Triple Crown and everything over in Los Sueños. But anyways, they're doing a 2-year tour to the Canaries, the Azores, and Madeira, and the bluefin fishery in the early spring, so like end of March into April, May time, from what we gather, is like, can be savage. You know, these fish are coming out of the Med, they're hungry, The bait kind of
seemed to all be like 300 to 800 pounds.
Yeah, I think even more. I mean, everything I've been like reading and, you know, Marlin Mag and online and everything, it's like most of these fish seem to be like 600 to a G.
Ugh.
You know? Yeah.
I can't imagine those things. I mean, we've caught big ones in blue water, but
yeah. But I mean,
it's going
to
be intense.
Thousands and thousands of feet, you know, tuna in general like to go down, especially well, most of the time at some point in the fight. But yeah, so just kind of another thing that we stumbled into through networking and fishing in a lot of different places. So we're going there, and we'll be there for about 2 to 3 weeks, and specifically targeting giant bluefin with right. these guys. And
it's cool to be able to target the same fish we catch here.
Exactly.
But in a whole nother location, whole different style bait fishing or mm-hmm. trolling or whatever it ends up being. You know, it's cool because we gave these guys a list of what we expect to have to use there to catch these things. And they went out of their way and they got, you know, everything we needed to hopefully produce. We're going there as guides, not actually fished there before, but you know, we know for the most part the ins and outs of catching these giant bluefin. So, I mean, we should be, as long as we can find fish, we'll be able to catch them.
And find bait.
We got to find bait and find fish. So that's going to be like a local deal that hopefully they're building relationships up with right now while they're there. Yep. And we'll get there and at least have, you know, the expertise to catch the fish. And hopefully they can get us on the bait and it all kind of works and blends together.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's the biggest draw to it, right? It's right. like, it's still, it's that hunt. You have no idea what's gonna go on. Yeah, you know. And then if it all comes to fruition, and
I hope it's trolling.
I really do too. I mean, they have squid bars and stuff when they fished up here. I mean, imagine right. if we're trolling
in blue water watching these things come up. Oh my god,
700-pound bluefins.
Ugh. To watch them eat in green water and making a, you know, a splash the size of a F-150, seeing them come up and actually like come under the bar in the blue water, you'll be able to see their black back and like chasing it like a marlin without the boil at first. Exactly. You know?
Exactly.
It's gonna be insane.
Yeah. Hopefully it all comes together. But yeah, so just kind of another thing that we have going within Seabros and that side of our kind of family business, I guess. What about Mass Bay Guides? Why don't we talk about kind of what our bread and butter business is a little bit?
Yeah, so Mass Bay Guides, I guess, is the main part of our fishing life. It is really our fishing life. Seabro is only happening because we got, you know, we're into fishing from Mass Bay Guides, chartering with people from all over the world, and you know, basically it all started out with old Greg, which is our father, Greg Sears. You know, he grew up fishing his whole life with family and friends and just doing it recreationally. And it turned into him mating and then eventually captaining on, several friends' boats that are charter guys or commercial guys. And then he started building up, you know, his clientele and eventually got his own boat. And you know, Mass Bay Guides officially started in 99, so we just passed our 20-year anniversary, which was pretty cool. And you know, now it's at one point we had two boats owned by the company and then several outsourced boats. Now we're just concentrating on, or we still technically do have two boats. We have the one small river boat. It's a 19-foot Parker that does all inshore bass. And, you know, last year you could have went tuna fishing in it because the tuna came into 20 feet of water.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, so we bass fish in the 19-foot Parker and then the 35 Donnell down east charter boat is our main full-day offshore. It's inshore-offshore boat, but mostly does offshore trips. And for us, an offshore, we're considering over like, you know, 10 miles, 15 yeah. miles. It's not like the canyons where you have to go 30 to 60 miles or, you know, 120 miles, depending on where you're going out of. But
yeah.
So basically we target, you know, haddock, cod, if they allow us to catch them, which they haven't been, but haddock, cod, pollock,
Basic ground fish.
You know,
in Massachusetts ground.
That's like the spring, early part of our season. Then it morphs into striped bass and as well as ground fish. Then the bluefin tuna show up, and you know we're kind of doing everything. In theory, they show up. Some years they don't show up in big numbers, but last year was
the last couple years of
absolutely insane, insane fishing. And you know, in I would say July and early August, we basically fish for everything. Striped bass starts to slow down. The water gets fairly warm that time of year. And then we really just target tuna, and occasionally we shark fish, and we can catch bottom fish while we shark fish as well. But, you know, our primary focus in July through basically middle November is bluefin. And that's what it seems like every year. We just get more and more bluefin clients. So July through November, we bluefin fish, and the boat comes out of the water middle of November, and you know, we start the process all over again. Basically the beginning of April, we start doing prep work. The boat goes back in early May. But so back to how I'm kind of getting sidetracked, but basically Mass Bay guys started with old Greg in 99, worked his way into having multiple boats. And now we're at the point we're doing 130, 140 trips on the big boat, and you know, between 20 and 40 trips on the skiff in the spring for striped bass.
And subbing out, I mean, it varies, but yeah, from 60 to 100 trips a year.
Right.
On other boats, and those can sometimes be overflow, or in our case, you know, a lot of times it's corporate trips.
Exactly.
Right. So we'll have, you know, Milton Cat or, you know, whatever else.
Yep.
Have 20 guys.
Alexis,
you know,
does like a 10 boat trip.
Split them out across the boats. Have like a little mini tournament in between if they choose to, and then, you know, all the boats kind of fish within close proximity to each other, and that way, you know, people aren't out doing their own thing and keeping it pretty much even keel across the board for the day. So why do we want to?
Why are we doing this?
Doing the podcast?
Yeah.
I mean, I really think it's just another way of networking. You know, it's so important in fishing that this is just kind of another format, I guess, that we can do that. But I don't know. I mean, not to sound like too self-involved or anything, but I think that we've been both, well, our whole family has been fortunate enough to fish in a lot of different places and have our own charter business and meet a lot of people and I guess have a lot of experience through the years, so it's just kind of a way of us organizing all of that and sharing it with our audience and, you know, kind of
storytelling.
Storytelling, showing people what's out there. Just kind of, I mean, I don't care what you fish for, you know, sunfish in a pond or, you know, giant bluefins or blue marlin, black marlin, you're an IGFA record seeker, anything like that. Like everyone essentially shares the same passion for this sort of stuff. So we feel like if we can help people, you know, kind of add to that obsession and passion, that's kind of our goal. So I think storytelling through this, you know, talk about not just what we do up here in the Northeast and, you know, fun days and bad days and funny days and whatever else. And, you know, what our guests have also experienced and letting them tell stories and fishing stories. But, you know, also, even as we roll into the season, doing some reporting as well, you know, like it doesn't all have to be long form episodes and, you know, kind of shooting the shit. We also want to give people who fish up here an idea of kind of what's going on and what we're thinking throughout the season. I mean, we're super fortunate that we're able to do it, you know, and you know, a lot of people balk at that. Well, why are you going to tell people this and tell people that and show them this? It's like, there's so much more that goes into it than, you know, telling people something.
Right, we can spill our guts, but at the end of the day, if you're
you're not out there fishing.
You're not going to make the things happen. People, the public only sees what we push out.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, all these little tips and tricks or, you know, the seminars we've done or the social night, which we'll talk about in a little bit. you know, there's the haters out there that think that we're like giving away the secrets, but at the end of the day, you know, anybody can stick a hook through a live mackerel and throw it in the water and catch a 1,000-pound tuna.
Exactly.
You know, and that's their story to tell. They can post it and, you know, just like everyone else in the whole social media world, it's like whatever they post is all that they see.
Or whatever they tell.
Or whatever they tell is all that you hear.
Exactly.
So it's like what it comes down to is time on the water. You have to spend time on the water to you know, have your own record book, I guess.
Yeah, and trust your own instincts.
Right.
We can't teach instincts. You know what I mean? It's just, it's just something that evolves and, you know, starts to get better throughout your fishing career the more that you do it. And it isn't just necessarily with the specific fishery that you're in.
Right.
All of it kind of comes together to help improve your instincts across the board, no matter where you are.
Yeah.
So I think that's what we're really trying to do.
And instill confidence. Like you go in the water and you see something and maybe you heard it from us or one of your buddies that catches, you know, several fish. You'll feel better that day doing something. Even if you don't hook one, at least you'll feel better, you know, pushing that style of fishing out and trying that style of fishing when it might be out of your comfort zone. But, you know, you've seen other guys do it and they're successful doing it.
Yeah.
And then you'll find your own way of doing things. You know, you might take bits and pieces or one thing that we might say or that someone else says and you'll put it all together and have your own awesome day on the water.
Yeah, so
Brian's phone's going off, so.
Yeah, I just silenced it. So really it's storytelling. We're going to be doing some reporting.
Yep.
As we get into the season.
Some tips and tricks.
Tips and tricks. Be talking about tackle. You know, obviously a lot of it initially focused towards tuna fishing up here in the Northeast,
right.
Both, you know, kind of the inshore game and offshore game. But, you know, as we mentioned before,
it's going to morph into something
larger. It'll morph
larger.
Into a lot of different other fisheries. You know, we start getting, you know, good buddies on, you know, buddies in Hawaii to Costa Rica to Florida. You'll really be able to kind of take bits and pieces of what everyone has to offer and kind of implement it into your game. So
or not implement it and, you know, listen and drink your morning coffee on the way to work and, you know, enjoy talking with fishing or listening to people talk about fishing and tell stories. And not all of it will be fishing. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of banter outside of fishing.
Yeah.
So it should be cool. It should be a good experience doing this. I was hesitant on starting it. Brian was definitely more into starting the podcast in the beginning. But you know, the more and more I've thought about it, and it's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
You know, talking to different people and listening to their true stories, or not true stories. I don't know who you talk
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly. So what do we got? What do we got going on for the next couple of months here?
So. February 29th.
The Saturday.
It's a leap year. It's a leap year? Holy schmoly, it's a leap year.
Oh, yeah.
So February 29th is a Saturday, right?
Correct.
From 6 to 10 p.m., we're going to be hosting a dinner / social /
workshop.
Tuna talk style night at the Lucky Finn Cafe in Hanover. And... you know, you'll have to purchase a ticket if you want to go. The tickets are limiting to 50 people. It's not a giant space, so we're going to limit it to 50 people. It's $50 a ticket. And
you includes beer,
yeah,
wine.
Beer until the beer runs out. Like, I'm not going to the store and buying 80, 30
yeah.
racks.
Pizza.
You don't buy enough to have a good time. Pizza.
Basic beverages, water, all that sort of thing.
Right. And then 90 minutes of a presentation Brian and I will do, and then I'm sure there'll be a bunch of questions and comments and talk and whatever
yeah,
else.
It's just a
happen.
good casual workshop format. We've done you know, very scheduled workshops and seminars in the past. We're still doing some. I mean, we'll talk about Damon's show and Cast Afar. We're also doing that as well. But it's just a kind of a casual setting. We want to kind of make it more of like a networking and, you know, meet other fishermen, anglers, captains, mates up here in the Northeast that might be doing the same thing that you're doing. So, I mean, that's
Get out of the house.
Get out of the house. It's wintertime. It sucks.
Right.
Tickets are actually almost sold out. I think we have less than 20 left. So if you are listening to this, hop on it. You can get them at seabrosfishing.com. You'll see the link up at the top of the website there, and you can purchase tickets online. We'll also be posting some updates and that sort of thing in regards to what we're talking about during the 90-minute workshop during the social night on our social media. So you can follow us at seabrosfishing there on Instagram and Facebook. What else? Like we mentioned before, I just mentioned before, we are doing another seminar, the Castafari offshore seminar. It's a 2-day event. I believe it's March 21st and the 22nd. We're presenting on the first day, talking about bluefin fishing in the bay and on the bank, kind of what happened last year, what we are expecting to see for 2020. Just kind of going over our recipe for doing it with charters, which is obviously a little bit different than, you know, fishing by yourself or with a small crew commercially and stuff, and how that kind of adds and creates challenges for us as well. And then we're also talking about, I mean, because we
releasing how important that was last year for us.
Yeah, I mean, we had really small windows for commercial openings and monthly quotas, so we're doing a lot of catch and release giant bluefin. Fortunately, we've had a lot of experience with that up in Canada, and those guys are very innovative and appreciate everything we've seen up there. And we've kind of morphed that into our fishery here because we haven't been able to harvest them as much as we have in years past. So we're going to be talking about, you know, safely handling them at the boat, wiring them properly, kind of the tools and tips and tricks that we have for people to make sure that, you know, these fish are swimming away healthy. So that's March 21st and 22nd. There's going to be a lot of other speakers there as well. It's always a good show. It's usually 300-400 plus people there in attendance, all the vendors.
Good time.
From everywhere. So that's a good time. And then right after that, we're doing the Gomera trip. So I'm sure that we'll be posting a podcast episode with Drake and Katie and maybe Paul, the owner of the operation over there. While we're there, or maybe afterwards, to kind of recap how the trip went. Hopefully it all goes well, like we were talking about earlier. And then we start rolling into our season. So
yep,
we're gonna try to post a full episode podcast every week or so leading up to the season. We're gonna probably pre-record a few because we're gonna, once we get busy into our charter season, just being transparent about what our schedule is like. So we're going to try to pre-record as much stuff as possible between now and then, and so we can release it regularly throughout the season, and then we'll have our, you know, weekly mass bait guides reports and be adding kind of the tips and tricks sort of episodes, short form episodes that that make it easy for people to kind of follow in on the podcast as we get into our busy fishing season throughout the spring and the summer. So that's really... That's really it for this first one. You got anything else?
No. What else do we have written on there?
So, yeah, that's really all we have for this first kind of introduction episode about Seabros Fishing and Mass Bait Guides and what our whole family operation's like. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find us at Seabros Fishing on Instagram and Facebook. You can follow Mass Bay Guides at Mass Bay Guides on Instagram and Facebook. And our websites are seabrosfishing.com and massbayguides.com. If you're interested in booking a trip, or you want to get tickets to the social night on February 29th, like we mentioned before. But yeah, that's it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Stay tight.